You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Well, Andrea, this is not anything political has been alleged. The allegation is that somehow Obama administration officials utilized intelligence for political purposes. That's absolutely false.
That was Susan Rice yesterday in a very softball interview with Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC. Joining us on the line right now is Andrew McCarthy, contributing editor at National Review, but also, you should know, former chief assistant United States attorney in the Southern District of New York, a man who knows a little bit about this topic, and he has written a very fascinating article in National Review Online. I recommend it for your reading. Good morning to you, Andrew.
Morning, Brian. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. So, you know, look, Susan Rice goes on TV. She's handed some softball questions. She makes the case. This was in no way political. And as I read your article, you come to a very different conclusion about that.
Well, there's a lot we don't know yet. And I salute the fact that Chairman Devin Nunes has actually pursued this despite all the caterwauling and scorn, because I think this really does have the indicia of scandal. But first of all, she's not very credible, Ms. Rice, when she says, well, pretty much anything. But, you know, the Obama administration politicized virtually everything, from the Justice Department to the IRS and so forth. So the thought that they wouldn't politicize intelligence, when we know, in fact, that the intelligence community complains that they doctored their reports to go along with administration narratives, I just don't think it's very credible for her to say, you know, my goodness, we would never politicize intelligence. But what the indications that we have are that she was involved in the unmasking. As I understand what she's saying, she's not denying that she at least did that much. And she's actually mounting her defense, as, you know, clever defendants do, on claims that nobody's making. So she's saying that, you know, the intelligence collection here was absolutely lawful. Nobody's saying it wasn't. She's saying, I didn't leak any information. Nobody said she did, at least not that we know of to the moment. What we're saying is it looks like there was a broad-ranging enterprise here where the people at the top, like Rice, were using their authority and pressuring the collecting intelligence agencies to unmask, that is, to get the identities of Americans, namely Americans who are connected to the Trump campaign, which would ordinarily be concealed. They were revealed in intelligence reporting. The president, at the 11th hour of his administration, issued an executive order that, in an extraordinary way, allowed raw intelligence and unmasked intelligence to be widely spread throughout the intelligence community, which exponentially increased the chances of leaking. And then, according to Evelyn Farkas, you have former Obama administration officials, current Obama officials at the time. Farkas herself, I think, was then in the Clinton campaign. But they're putting pressure on people in Capitol Hill to ask the intelligence organizations for as much intelligence as they would disclose on things like Trump and Russia. So, again, you're geometrically increasing the amount of information that will be out there and likely leak. And lo and behold, what did we end up with? A lot of leaking.
Yeah. Now, in her interview with Andrea Mitchell, she said something, and I'm paraphrasing here, along the lines of, I request the process. She talks about the process to make this seem like it's a normal process, that she would request to see names because they're masked. And then it would be up to the intelligence agencies to review her request and then make that decision. So she's already getting ready to throw a lower level employee under the bus.
Yeah, well,
is that how it works?
Well, first of all, it's really not how it works. If you ask people who have access to intelligence products, which is so people understand how this works, it's a bad idea to talk about the intelligence community as the intelligence community, because we get to the idea that it's one undifferentiated whole, right? But there's 17 different organizations, and only three of them really are the intelligence collection and analysis organizations. That's the NSA, the FBI, and the CIA. Mm-hmm. And before they spread their reporting to the rest of the community, they're the ones who are in charge with the decisions of masking and unmasking. They refine the reporting. And the important thing is they know more about their investigations than anybody else does. So, for example, if the FBI is looking into the connection, if there is one, between Russia and Trump, or Trump people, they obviously know what they're investigating, and they know the significance of any American whose identity comes up in the course of that investigation. So if it needs to be unmasked, they're the ones who are in the best position to do it, on the argument that it's necessary to know the identity in order to exploit the intelligence value we're talking about.
But you make the point in your article that that it really is not Susan Rice's job to be an investigator in this matter.
That's exactly right. And what I'm trying to say is those three organizations are the investigators. Everybody else in the intelligence community is a consumer,
right,
of their reporting. And it's highly unusual for those consumers to ask for unmasking. I think I would suggest to you, when you're interviewing people who have access to intelligence products, ask them, have you ever gone back to the intelligence agencies and asked them to unmask an American's identity? I bet you almost to a person, they'll tell you no. Mm-hmm. And the reason is not because they're not curious. The reason is because by the time they get the intelligence product, it's been scrubbed by the agencies that actually know what they're doing in the investigation.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Andrew, a really great article.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us here. Andrew McCarthy, a contributing editor to National Review Online.